Nicolet Bank is honored to support all who strive to make communities great.
Newsmakers is a production of Wisconsin Eye. To keep programs like this free and accessible to all, please consider a charitable gift to wisi.org/donate or text WISI to 44321. This program is brought to you from Wisconsin Eye's Margaret Farrow Studio.
Hello and welcome to Newsmakers. I'm your host, Lisa Pugh. The final two public hearings in the state budget process will be held next week in Hayward and Wausau, setting the stage for the Joint Finance Committee to begin crafting their version of the budget. Legislators have some unique challenges this year, including calculating any changes to federal funding streams or the impact tariffs may have on state tax collections. Joining us today are Republican Committee Co-Chair Senator Howard Markline and Representative Mark Bourne to give us an update. Welcome to both of you.
Welcome.
Thanks for having us.
We just talked about how this is your third budget as co-chairs together. Are you hearing anything different from the public this time around?
I think most of the themes have been similar. There are always the big issues, like education, transportation, healthcare. Sometimes there's some regional things. So I think when we were in the Northeast, we heard a little bit more about the prison. The Green Bay prison gets a lot of attention in that region, so that wasn't a surprise, but not something you'll hear probably in every part of the state. But I think most of it's been pretty similar.
Senator Markline, are you hearing anything from the public that's a little bit different this year?
I think everything I've heard so far has been pretty much what I had expected to hear. I think there's been some concerns by our constituents, and we heard this in our public hearings about the unknowns in Washington, D.C., and Medicaid and that sort of thing, which we are hearing this year, which we have not heard. I don't recall hearing about that in the past.
Sure. So Wisconsin Eye has been tracking some of those themes from your first two hearings in Kaukauna and West Allis. As you mentioned, Representative Bourne, the biggest pieces of the pie showing in those budget hearings are shown in lavender and pink on the screen, are education and health care. You heard a little more, you said, about corrections in Kaukauna in that northeast part of the state, a little bit more on community programs in West Allis in the southeast. What themes would you expect to hear as you head further north? Are there some common things that people in northern Wisconsin area talk about?
Yeah, I think we might hear a little bit more about tourism. We might hear a little bit more about natural resources and Knowles Nelson, things like that. That wouldn't surprise me, but we'll hear some of those same core issues too, because those things flow throughout the state, like education, that'll be everywhere.
Senator Markline, a lot of testifiers talk about that big budget surplus, $4.3 billion, and people are wondering, well, why can't my priority get funded given this surplus? What's your message to the public about that surplus?
Well, a lot of the surplus that we have is as a result of one-time money. That is, when all that federal money came in post-COVID, the state of Wisconsin, we got about $67 billion of money came into the state of Wisconsin. The stimulus payments that individuals got, PPP loans, hospital, almost every organization you can think of and group got money. And of course, we also had supply chain concerns at the very same time. So when you have a lot of money chasing fewer goods, you have inflation. So the state of Wisconsin benefited from that inflation as prices went up. Cost of a truck went up, cost of a hamburger went up. The state of Wisconsin, we get 5%
of
it.
Our tax collections went up.
Our tax, but that's one-time money, and we hope we don't have that kind of inflation ever again. So I guess I need to, with my colleagues, kind of caution them. A lot of this money is really one-time money. So I think we need to be somewhat cautious, in how that how we look at that that surplus.
I know you've been asked several times about the timing for this budget and whether or not there'll be a delay in getting it done this year. There's also been that speculation about a potential for significant reduction in federal funding, which supports a lot of our state functions. How do you construct the budget with that type of uncertainty about federal funding?
I think there's always uncertainty about federal funding. They're always changing the rules. They're always making new programs or modifying programs depending on who's in power or who has an idea as a secretary or whatever. It's maybe in some people's eyes on steroids right now because the new administration is trying to, you know, make an impact. But we don't know how that's all going to shake out. So I just think it's important not to overreact. As things actually occur, we'll make adjustments as necessary. But we also need to remember that we don't print money like the federal government does. We have to have a balanced budget, so we can't deficit spend like the federal government does. So there has to be balance in that. But we'll address issues as they come, as we're able. And I think it's important not to over-speculate about what might happen. Let's wait and see.
Senator Markline, you said you had been hearing a little bit about concerns regarding Medicaid. And I know Congress passed a budget resolution putting about $880 billion worth of potential cuts on the table for Medicaid. We won't know what that will look like for some time yet. The Legislative Fiscal Bureau has said that the federal government provides more than $7.5 billion to Wisconsin for Medicaid. That's about 54% of our funding for Medicaid. How will you go about constructing the Medicaid portion of the budget with that kind of looming in the background? Is there any way you can prepare?
No, as the co-chair said, I think, you know, we need to wait till there's some certainty and, you know, a month from now, you know, hopefully we'll have more clarity on a lot of issues, including what our state revenue collections are. So at this point, nothing in Washington, D.C. has been finalized. So it's concepts, it's big picture kinds of things. And until we see the actual impact, I think it's premature to speculate on what we may or may not do in the budget.
You're proceeding as if the same amount of federal funding will continue coming into Wisconsin for the coming 12 months.
Sure. I mean, I think if you look at the Medicaid example that you gave, they could make cuts to Medicaid that would hit hospitals or and not touch the state particular funds. So, or it could be all state funds. We don't know, right? We don't. I mean, so I don't think it's worth speculating that what may happen, and we'll wait and see.
Have you considered passing the budget in separate bills in ways that would allow you to tackle certain parts of the budget maybe that are less likely to be affected by federal cuts, maybe things that we do know are safe, so to say?
I think that that's always part of the budget process. There has been budgets in recent history where just transportation was peeled off. And so as we work through the budget process, we will look at those things. And if there is a situation that's makes it, you know, that's the right path to do that, we'll certainly consider that and perhaps do it. But that's always part of the process. And right now we're on schedule in the normal process. And there are things like lawsuits and federal potential cuts and things that could modify that process. That's how we'll adjust as we move along. And that's not any different than every budget process.
So it is possible there could be separate budget bills, depending on the topic?
It's happened before.
Anything's possible. I mean, anything's possible. I don't know that sitting here today that we're expecting that to happen.
Right.
But, you know, it could, you know. I mean, I don't think it's likely at this time. I don't think as we approach the process, I don't think that we're anticipating, we're starting this out with the intent that we're going to have separate budgets.
Right.
The governor was asked yesterday about negotiations around taxes. We know Republican leaders have said they've sat down with the governor. The governor said he is not interested in passing a tax cut plan outside of the budget. What's your reaction to that?
Well, it's unfortunate. It certainly would be easier to craft a budget if we knew exactly, you know, how much money we had to spend. And but what's most important, I think, is that we have real tax reform, real tax cuts that go with investments and priorities. And so if it can be done before the budget, simultaneously with the budget,
you
know, whatever
that
path. Well, I don't say it doesn't matter. I think it'd be better if we had a better understanding of our revenue stream as you're crafting the budget. The governor appears to not agree with that. I think that's unfortunate. But the most important thing is we can't have a budget like we had last time where we invest in a lot of priorities but don't invest in real tax reform. It needs to be both.
Where do you think the middle ground is on taxes? You know what the governor has proposed. I know different the chambers have different ideas. Where is the middle ground, would you say?
That's to be determined. You know, I mean, it's all part of the conversation that, you know, is happening between the legislative branch and executive branch. And you know, we haven't begun those kinds of conversations between the houses yet. So, you know, the middle ground is where we'll end up.
Do you two agree on where taxes should end up?
I don't know. We've talked about it.
We haven't really talked about it in the details. I think we agree that on the idea that we need a budget that has both investments and priorities and tax cuts.
So that's the starting point.
Yep.
We got some news last week from the Department of Revenue about tax collections. That income taxes in March were down 9.3% from this time last year. Sales taxes down 2.2% from March of last year. Wispolitics called that a potential warning sign for the budget. Would you agree? Is that a warning?
You know, I watch those collections pretty closely every month, and you know, I don't think the economy is nearly as strong as what some people are saying. You know, and one of the numbers that I watch closely is the sales tax collections, and you know, for the first 9 months of the fiscal year, they're up 2.3%. Now, 2.3% is an increase. But that doesn't even cover the cost of inflation, I don't think. So in terms of the number of hamburgers, the number of units of goods being sold, my guess is it's flat or maybe even declining a bit. So and as far as the income tax collections, the next report that we get will be very important because April 15th, we'll get it before that, but the April 15th tax collections are big in terms of swings from year to year, because we'll find out then in terms of what the capital gains tax collections were for 2024, and so you know, and I don't know, I'm not expecting a whole lot of wonderful news, I guess, you know, and going way back to our early tenure on the Joint Finance Committee before we were co-chairs. I mean, we used to always get these wonderful uppers in May of every year from Bob Lang, and I'm not expecting that this year.
So you think it'll be a little different? You have been fortunate in your time as co-chairs now working with the surplus as the kind of the backdrop of your budgetary work. Is this, it sounds like you're going to proceed with a little bit of caution. Is this maybe a year where we have to tighten the belt? Is there a potential for cuts in this budget?
I think it's definitely a year where we're going to have to tighten the belt, because most of the surplus is one-time money, as Senator Mark Lyne mentioned earlier. And while we do have growth, it's possibly slowing. We'll know more in the next couple of reports. And the cost to continue, the inflation's still there. So our cost to maintain current levels is really high. And so that's all putting pressure on the budget. And so regardless of what the May report is from the Fiscal Bureau, it's already tightening, and we'll see if it's even more tight after that.
You've both been saying you can't make any substantive decisions about the budget until you heard how the state Supreme Court was going to rule on Governor Evers' partial veto that raised the property tax revenue limit for school districts for 400 years. We now have that decision. The partial veto was upheld. How does that, what was your reaction to that decision?
You know, I guess I wasn't shocked.
Shocked.
I was, given the composition of the court, I guess I was, you know, kind of expecting that. So, you know, and it gives us guidance in terms of drafting. I'm sure, and again, Representative Borden and I haven't talked about this at all, but in the drafting, I'm sure you're not going to see 2027 written out as 2027. It'll now be written out probably in words. And so from a drafting standpoint, you know, we've got more certainty. You know, obviously, the $325 per pupil for the next 400 years allows our local school boards to raise taxes a lot over the next 400 years. So
does that impact how much money you want, maybe we'll put in K-12 education in this budget?
I'm sure it'll be something that we consider, if we determine, if and how much we're going to backfill with state resources.
We've been seeing school districts go to referendum with greater frequency over the last several years, voting to raise their own property taxes. The governor says he put in his budget plan ways to protect property taxpayers, giving more spendable resources to K-12 schools, he says. Also creating property tax credits through the school tax levy credit. What ways can property taxpayers be protected in this budget, would you say?
Well, I think when you start with the 400-year veto and the massive tax increase that that brings, it makes it a lot harder to protect property taxpayers. So that's the starting point. And then, we'll have to see if there are ways to do that. The governor does it with some gimmicks in his budget, and then he also does it with a lot of reckless spending. And so we're not going to spend the state into a $4 billion deficit like his budget does, and so we'll have to take a more measured approach. But we'll certainly look at it. But we start in a big hole as far as the property taxpayers go because of the governor's 400-year veto, and that's just the reality of the hand that the governor's, misguided veto and the court's ruling on that has dealt us.
Will there be another big increase for the school choice system, do you think, in this coming budget? They got a pretty big increase last time.
I don't know. We haven't discussed that at all.
What about decoupling? Is that something you support? Would that be something we would see in the budget, the decoupling of the school choice funding system from public schools?
It's certainly something that I personally support. I don't think there's been a lot of discussion on it yet. Certainly not something that Senator Markline and I have talked about. But I'm sure it'll be part of the discussion.
There was a hearing in the Assembly last week on the higher education portion of the budget, and President Rothman, UW System President Rothman, had some pretty pointed questions at him about accountability for spending on diversity, equity, and inclusion. Do you think that the UW system has met the legislature's expectations on DEI that were promised last time?
I don't think they've met the expectations on DEI, generally speaking. I know that President Rothman thinks that they've met the agreement. I think even that's a little bit vague. I think more importantly, though, is whether it was at that hearing or when President Rothman appeared before the Finance Committee, they just, in their budget request, they still don't seem to get it. Like, they're still focused on growing their bureaucracy, a lot of administration, still too much focus on DEI. The audit shows that there's even more positions in DEI than were originally thought. And so they just seem to be continuing to lead higher education in the wrong direction in Wisconsin, and that's very concerning.
President Rothman has said if that $855 million budget request for the UW system is not funded, that there's this threat of tuition hikes, potentially more branch campus closures. Do you expect that might happen?
The UW system, like our K-12 education system, we're facing a demographic challenge, and that is fewer and fewer students. Fewer students in our K-12 school districts, and that means a lot fewer students coming into the UW system. So at some point, the UW system is going to have to manage that. It's just, there's been a decline in the number of students at the UW in the UW system, and that's projected to keep declining over the next number of years. So, the President Rothman's going to have to manage that decline in whatever way that he sees fit. And I'm sure he's, there's all kinds of options for him to accomplish
and
that.
You think that branch campus closures could be part of that solution?
I'm not going to speak for him.
Mm-hmm. I know that corrections was a big theme in your first two hearings. The governor has proposed closure of Green Bay Correctional Institute by 2029. He also expands earned release. He invests in some updates at Waupun. What does a corrections plan look like from your perspective? What did he get right, or maybe what still needs to be in a corrections plan?
Well, as far as what he got right, it's good that for the first time this governor recognized that Green Bay Correctional should close and that we need to make some real capital investments and changes in our correctional facilities. It's not something that he'd really been willing to talk about before, and so it's good that he's finally at that table. I think he needed to focus a little bit more on public safety and some accountability in the program, and so I think that's something that's missing, I think, in some of his recommendations. But on the capital side, I think that they took a study that was done back under the Walker administration, a professional study on what could be done with space needs, and took a lot of things out of there that make sense. And so we have to have some caucus discussions, and then Senator Mark Lyon and I, like on every topic, have to have some discussions about it. But there are things to work with there, and much like other plans we've seen in the past from the governor, there's more work that needs to be done, but I think we can start with it and hopefully improve it and have a good plan for the future of public safety and corrections in Wisconsin.
Senator Mark Lyon, I think you have 3 correctional facilities in your district, is that correct?
I do.
What do you like about what you see in the governor's plan, or what do you think is missing?
Well, I agree, you know, Green Bay needs to close. I also think that I'm not sure about rehabilitating Waupun. I mean, that is an aging facility as well. And
what would you do at Waupun?
I think it needs to be replaced. I think both those institutions need to be replaced.
In this budget?
It needs to be replaced in the future, mm-hmm. whatever that means. So, but I've heard from a number of staff in from some of the institutions in my district, and they are concerned about the release of prisoners from the maximum security prisons and moving them down to medium security. And as one staff member told me, our medium security prisons will become the least safe institution for our staff to work in. So anyway, we need to, and I think Representative Boren has commented in the past, that, we need to be, it's got to be a comprehensive solution. It's a problem, been a problem for a long time. I am glad that, there is some conversation about it, but, there's and just earned release, I don't know if that in and of itself is, that solely is not going to solve our problem.
If I could add, I think I look forward to talking more to the senator about the Waupun idea, because there are more new buildings there than people realize, and it's actually a pretty innovative idea. The housing is the problem. There's a lot of Badger Industries. There's a new visitor center, relatively new, less than 20 years old, which is new in a prison. So there's opportunity there, and so I think we'll have some good discussions on that.
There is where the negotiation happens, huh? But do you think this is the year Green Bay Correctional actually could be slated to be closed in this budget?
Yeah, it's still going to take some time, obviously, in the governor's plan and any plan that we have. It's not going to close in a year. But I think we're hopeful we can start that process.
The governor's budget increases vehicle title fees and driver's license registration renewal fees to shore up the transportation fund. I know transportation is an issue that you've worked on throughout your career. What do you think are some long-term sustainability issues for the transportation fund that don't include increasing the gas tax, which it seems like everybody wants to avoid?
I think everything's going to be on the table, as far as, in every alternative, there's a downside. Vehicle miles traveled. Well, there's a downside. My district is on a border to Illinois and Iowa, and a lot of my constituents in Monroe drive to work in Freeport, or they live in Platteville, and they work in Iowa. So a lot of those miles are driven out of state. So every one of those alternatives, there's downsides, and it's going to take. It's going to take some
a lot
real
of innovative
effort,
ideas. Are other states doing anything innovative on transportation funding?
Nothing that I can recall. I mean, there's only a few alternatives. A lot of states have tolling, obviously, which we don't have at this point.
Do you support the governor's ideas?
I've got to take a look at them again. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, I.
Where are you at on transportation sustainability in the budget?
I think it's important to get some new user fee money into the budget. Roads aren't getting any cheaper, and the account's kind of flat with the gas tax. But as far as which ones those are, we'll have to have caucus discussions, and then both houses will have to talk. But fee increases of some kind are probably going to need to be part of the solution.
What about child care? I know you also hear a lot about that in your district. The Department of Children and Families and the governor recently released a survey saying that a quarter of child care providers are considering somewhat, very, or extremely potentially closing without additional state funding. The governor put child care counts in his budget. I know that that's something that the Republican legislature doesn't support. What are some solutions for child care that you think could be included in the budget?
Generally, I support targeting state support to families, not to maybe the institutions, but to families. The families that need it, that the working poor,
In the form of a tax credit, or what would that be?
Well, we've got programs already that, so we can take a look at that. So, and then also just looking at the possibility of employer-provided incentives. We've got a couple of employers in my district that are looking at, providing that kind of a service. And we've got a number of companies actually that are providing childcare as part of their on-campus offerings. I'm very sensitive to the issue. I've got grandkids. My spouse babysits for a family member right now. I'm very sensitive to what that
something will happen is, for child care in the budget.
Possibly.
One thing that seems like it has bipartisan support and enthusiasm is public safety reimbursement for the NFL draft coming up this weekend in Green Bay. Is that something you expect will be a bipartisan win in the budget potentially?
It's not something that we've discussed in great detail. I know there's been members that have put out support for it. We gave money in the last budget to the NFL draft in Green Bay, and so it'll certainly be part of the discussion this time because people are asking for it. So,
well, last time you had a couple of big bipartisan wins, the Brewers stadium funding, the shared revenue deal. What has potential for bipartisan love in this budget, would you say, Senator?
I don't know. We're too early in the process. I don't know that, 2 years ago at this time, the shared revenue conversation was a big item, 2 years ago now. So, I don't know that there's anything big at this point, but that may evolve as we move forward in the budget process.
What do you think has potential for bipartisan support?
Well, maybe optimistic and say corrections. I mean, we talked about it already. The governor put out a plan. It has some merit. It needs to be improved on. We talked about some of the ways that it might be improved on, so hopefully we can reach a compromise there. I think that would be a good thing.
What happens next? So you have your two hearings, then you're done with the hearing portion. You're waiting for the Fiscal Bureau estimates. Will you be pulling out the policy items from the governor? What's kind of your timeline, do you think?
Well, at this point, Representative Boren and I have not talked about this yet as far as a timeline. But, I'm hoping that we can begin with a process or timeline that's similar to what we've done in the past. And so I doubt, I believe we're probably going to be waiting for the Legislative Fiscal Bureau's updated revenue estimates, which would be around May 15th, I believe, is when we usually get that. I suspect we're not going to be doing anything real substantive in terms of big agencies and big decisions until we get that. We need to know what we're dealing with in terms of the revenue in the future.
In terms of revenue, Bob Lang had said on Capital Chats podcast that they're looking at the impact of tariffs. That's something. Do you think that we will see any impact from tariffs in those May Fiscal Bureau numbers?
I mean, I look forward to reading what Director Lang puts forward, as we always do, and they look at everything. I mean, they look at all the national trends, and no doubt that tariff is part of that discussion right now. Whether or not it'll have a significant impact by May, we'll see.
All right, final question. I have to ask you, what are the chances we're done with the budget by July 1st? Are you 100% certain? Where are you at on the scale of the odds of getting done by July 1st?
I don't know. I'm sitting here today, I'd say the odds are probably pretty good.
Pretty good?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, nothing's ever 100% in doing a budget, but I mean, I think right now we're on schedule. There's challenges in every budget, but we'll try to hit that goal, and if we don't, we'll wrap it up when we can.
All right. Well, thank you both for the conversation. Have happy travels next week.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. And thank you to the viewers of Newsmakers. Be sure to tune in again as we highlight the issues and sit down with the decision makers who make a difference for all of us.
Nicolet Bank is honored to support all who strive to make communities great. You have been watching a production of Wisconsin Eye, your unfiltered window into legislative deliberations and public policy programming, where our mission is to provide Wisconsinites an opportunity to access the legislative process and connect with conversations that inform our citizenry. Please consider supporting our mission, and thank you for watching. Wisconsin Eye, policy made public.